Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
As genuine born-again Christians, we need to realize that it's possible to be saved and even forgiven of our sins, yet fall short of God's goal for our salvation. What is this goal? Well, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 tell us that Jesus Christ has loosed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. Yes, we are saved, but can we boldly declare that also we are priests to God? To see what it really means to be a priest, we have to look into the types and pictures of the Old Testament, and we will on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dennis Higashi has joined us once again, and Dennis, I'm glad you could be here with us. We're going to get a clear overview today, I think, of how God brings His people into the proper priestly function. We're going to see this in the book of Exodus. Thank you for joining us.
Right, Chris. I appreciate that we're still in the book of Exodus. I think from the broadcast, we really do enjoy Exodus. The pictures and the types are there. It's like when we were younger reading some books. We had a picture, and then we had the caption. The Exodus is like the picture. The New Testament is like the caption. When you put both of them together, you get the clear picture of what it is.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. That may be one of the reasons that people find, parts of the Old Testament, much of the Old Testament, a little wearisome as they're trying to read through. But once the connection is made between these pictures and the New Testament realities that are unfolded, it's altogether another book, isn't it?
It really is true, Chris. And this is why we appreciate Brother Lee's ministry. He brings out the Old Testament pictures and ties it with the New Testament reality. And it just gives us a grand view of God's economy.
Well, I especially like the program that we have in store for our listeners today, Dennis. It's very basic, very practical fellowship on something that is crucial for all believers to lay hold of. But it's a point that's really not that well understood, I think, by most Christians. How do we know, Dennis, from the New Testament that God desires all of His redeemed to be priests and not just have a special class of spiritual men to act in that role or function?
Well, Chris, you alluded to the verse there at the opening of the program in Revelation 1, 5, and 6, which speaks that God's intention is to make all of us priests, not just a certain class of men. Unfortunately, today, the scene is primarily a separate class called the clergy, who are classified as priest of God. All the others are just common believers. God's intention in the Old Testament, I think we referred to this in the previous broadcast in Exodus 19:6, where it says that you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. When you compare that with Revelation 1:5 and 6, and also 1 Peter 2 brings out in the writings very clearly that we are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. That means God's intention is that all of His people would be priests to God, not just a separate class, not just the clergy and others who are just the laity. God has no intention to put any kind of rank in His body. And so the picture we see today actually is abnormal. We like to come back to God's original intention where all of God's people could be priests coming directly to God.
You know, Dennis, this ministry is not unique in this understanding. And from time to time, we hear many pastors or many preachers, radio evangelists, whatnot, that will touch this point. But one thing I'd like to emphasize today, that we're not here putting down the clergy or anyone functioning in that role.
That's
I think
correct.
What we're trying to come at it from the other side, and that is to nourish and encourage and strengthen the so-called ordinary believers for us all to rise up and enter into that function, that role, where we all should be serving God.
That's correct. Especially today, in this age, Chris, in the age of specialists, where you have to have a specialist in this field, a specialist in that field, God's intention is there would be no specialists. We would all be the ordinary common believers coming to God directly, knowing the Lord intimately, knowing the Lord personally, and knowing the Lord directly.
Well, someone listening may say, gee, I would love to be a priest, but I have no idea how. And really, the New Testament doesn't give us a lot of detail. We saw the verses, the exhortation in Revelation and 1 Peter. But we need the picture in Exodus to really set us on our way. And that's where we're going in this first section. Let's join Witness Lee.
According to the New Testament, the goal of God's salvation is to make all the believers in Christ God's priests. Amen. In the New Testament, we could see just to be saved without becoming a priest to serve God is just on the halfway. And here on the halfway, we just couldn't fulfill God's purpose and satisfy His desire. So, in the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, we are told that all the redeemed ones are the priests of God. In the Old Testament, in the typologies, we could see firstly God redeemed His people and saved His people and educated His people. In this one book, the book of Exodus, we could see these three steps clearly. God came in to sanctify some of them to be His priests. And according to the entire revelation of the scripture, God's intention is not just to sanctify some of His redeemed ones to be the priests. No, God's intention is to sanctify all the redeemed ones. God intended to have the entire race of Israel a kingdom of priests. Due to their degradation, 11 tribes fell away. God eventually only took one of the 12 tribes, Levi, to be His priest. But we shouldn't realize in a way that this is still what God is doing today. No, God is sanctifying all the believers. You have two or three books on this crucial matter. 1 Peter and Revelation. Probably you have to add in also the book of Hebrew. So these few books reveal to us that God's New Testament economy is to have all His redeemed people to be His priests. This has been revealed more than clearly in the New Testament, yet the New Testament doesn't give us a clear and a detailed way that we may know how could we be actually and practically sanctified to be priests to serve God. Now, here in the Old Testament, is Exodus chapter 29, so precious in this purpose.
Dennis, at least three sections in the New Testament reveal that the goal of our salvation is for us to be made priests. Yet it takes an Old Testament book like Exodus, the types and shadows here, to practically reveal just how it is that we can come into this function as God's real priests. What are some of the parallels that we see between the experience of the children of Israel in Exodus and us, the New Testament believers?
I think in this point in Exodus, of course, we're talking about Exodus chapter 29, Chris. We have seen that the children of Israel have journeyed to this particular point. They've gone through the Passover. They've experienced something. The Passover, of course, related to redemption and God's salvation. They've experienced something in the wilderness with the manna and the living water. Yet they still lack the qualification to be priests. So Exodus 29 is God's education to the children of Israel of how to be priests. I believe Brother Lee mentions in the life study messages that Exodus 29 is indeed a very special and precious chapter because it details in a descriptive way how God's redeemed people can be sanctified to become priests to serve God. This is how to be qualified to become priests. And so, Chris, you asked about the radio listeners. They feel unqualified. How could they ever become priests? We can see the picture here in Exodus 29 and the steps actually to become the priests in the New Testament reality today.
Dennis, you made reference in your comments here that even in the Old Testament, it wasn't God's original intention just to have a special class, as we see with Aaron and his sons. How did we get to that point?
I believe in the life study message, as Brother Lee has stated, that God's intention was to make all of the children of Israel his priests. However, due to the degradation of the people, 11 tribes fell away. And therefore, God chose one of the tribes, the tribe of Levi, to be his priest. And this is what we are focusing on today. However, coming back to God's original intention, his intention is that all of God's people, all of his chosen and redeemed people, would be the priest to God directly.
And surely that's his full intention today.
That's correct.
That we would not fall and suffer to the same kind of degradation.
Right.
Right. 11 tribes fell away, Dennis, but certainly the Levites demonstrated that they had a heart for God, and that probably was the factor that caused God to select them. May we all be Levites in that way. Well, Dennis, one of the first qualifications for Aaron and his sons was to come and have a thorough washing before they could enter into their real function as priests in the tabernacle. And in Exodus 29, verse 4, it says, "And you shall bring Aaron and his sons near to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water." Let's look at that as we rejoin Witness Lee.
To sanctify Aaron and his sons to be priests to God, first of all, they got what? Washed. They all washed away the discharge from within you and wash away all the dirt that come upon you from the earth. Okay, number one. Number two, suppose you take a bath and you wash thoroughly. Could you see people in your nakedness? To enter into an office, you need the covering. Not only the covering, you need the uniform. The uniform is a kind of official covering and also qualifies you in your office. The more you are a priest, the more you need to be clothed. Aaron was clothed the most. Have you ever counted how many layers of his clothing? So, your dirt need to be washed away, and your nakedness need to be covered. How about your nature? What are you? Just sin. So you need what? To be redeemed. An adequate redemption in the eyes of God needs three things. First of all, you need to be terminated. You are a sinner. As a sinner, you need to be terminated. Then, whatever is terminated need to be redeemed. Amen. Then, whatever is redeemed need to be restored. So, redemption implies three things. Termination, redemption, and restoration. This is why we need a sin offering. This sin offering, in this chapter we can see, was altogether slaughtered, terminated. Not only so, but also cut into pieces. And not only so, but also burned. The entire offering, the sin offering, was burned into ashes. This sin offering is just Christ. Aaron and his sons all had to lay their hand upon the bull to get themselves fully identified with that sin offering. So you all have been slaughtered in Christ. You all have been cut into pieces.
Amen.
You all have been burned.
Amen.
You all have been terminated.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
In the eyes of God, your old nature all have become ashes. In the eyes of God, you all have become ashes. Terminated. Now, number one, you were dirty. Number two, you were naked. Number three, you were sinful by nature. So, washing is here. And clothing is here. And the sin offering is also here.
Well, Dennis, the sons of Aaron, who were chosen by the Lord to be the priests in Exodus, were pretty much the same as us. When God chose us. dirty, naked, and utterly fully constituted with sin. What were the remedies for their condition in Exodus and the New Testament fulfillment of these types that have benefited us so much?
As priests of God, one of our initial realizations is that we are just dirty from within and also from without. The dirt does not just come from the things that defile us outwardly, but the dirtiness also comes from within the nature of man. When we have the desire to function as priests to God, we realize that we are dirty. Consequently, we need a thorough washing. After that realization, then we see that we are naked and we need to be clothed. Exodus 29, the verses after verse 4 show us the proper clothing, which is just a picture of Christ. Not only are we dirty, we need to be washed, but we also are naked and we need to be clothed. And then we can finally see that we are constituted of sin. And for this, we need Christ as our redemption. We need to be washed, we need to be clothed, and we also need to be redeemed.
Dennis, this brings up an interesting point mentioned earlier. By this time, all of the children of Israel had experienced the Passover.
That's right.
The clearest and most perfect type probably in the Old Testament of the redemption of Christ. Yet here they are again, needing not a new redemption, but at least entering into the realization afresh of that redemption every day. The sin offering was offered each day and the blood was shed each day. So our redemption is certainly good eternally, but how about experiencing it daily? Where does this enter in? How does this play into our experience?
That's right, Chris. The redemption there in Exodus 19 is particularly related to the acts and the deeds and the sins that we commit. However, the redemption here in Exodus 29 refers to the inward or the nature of sin. There's two differences in the New Testament, talking about Christ redeeming us from our sins and Christ redeeming us from our sin. For Christ to redeem us from our sins, we need the death of Christ. For Christ to redeem us from our sin, the nature, we need the resurrection of Christ. And I think we will get into that more in the next section, Chris.
Dennis, the sin offering was not an end unto itself. It was a goal associated with it to bring the priests onto further and even richer experience of Christ. And that's where we're headed in our final section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Following the bull, B-U-L-L, as a sin offering, you have two rams. One of the rams is to be a burn offering, and the other, a peace offering. Sin offering may be considered as a sacrifice, but burn offering may be considered a gift. Sin offering is for redemption. Burn offering is for fellowship. And a peace offering is for enjoyment and satisfaction. Now, dear saints, on the one hand, we have been identified with the crucified Christ, our sin offering. On the other hand, we are also identified with the resurrected Christ. The bull typifies the crucified Christ. And the two rams, they signify the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ, firstly, is offered to God as a burnt offering, and followingly, a peace offering. Now, Christ is not only the crucified one, but also the resurrected one. Not only representing us, but also including us.
Amen.
We all are included in him.
Amen.
When he was crucified, we were too.
Amen.
Within him. Amen. And when he was resurrected and presented to God, we are too.
Amen.
Within him. Now, the last step is to offer the second ram, to sanctify the priest. The first step was to wash.
Amen.
The second was to clothe.
Amen.
And the third was to present the bull.
Amen.
And the fourth was to present the first ram as a burnt offering. And the last step was to present the second ram as a peace offering to God. Now, here in this chapter to sanctify God redeemed to be God's priest is to fill their hand.
Amen.
Thus far, you see, dirt washed away, mm-hmm. nakedness covered,
right.
sin has been taken care of, and they have been redeemed, mm-hmm. and they have offered a cry to God for God's satisfaction.
Right.
Not bad, but still, look at their hand. All their hands are still empty. There is the need of the last step, the second ramp. Hallelujah for Christ being the second ramp. This is the peace offering for these priests to enjoy Christ with God. In other words, now they all are ready to have a feast with God. Peace offering is a feast. Feast with God.
Well, Dennis, as the real priests, we have been washed, we've been clothed, we've been redeemed from sin and sins by Christ as the real sin offering. But as wonderful as all of this is, we still need more to establish and maintain fellowship with God. What was next for Aaron and his sons, and how are these things applied to us?
It's marvelous, Chris, that in Exodus 29, we not only have the washing, the clothing, and the redeeming, or the bull of the sin offering, we also have two more rams. And I think we'd like to focus on these two rams. The first ram is the ram of the burnt offering. I believe Brother Lee said in the life study that the sin offering is a sacrifice to God for redemption. So we experience Christ, who is our bull in crucifixion. However, the burnt offering is not a sacrifice, but it is a gift for our fellowship. Christ is our ram in resurrection. This is significant, Chris. The sin offering is primarily to meet our need. The burnt offering is primarily to meet God's need. The sin offering is a sacrifice to God, but the burnt offering is a gift to God for fellowship with God. In other words, Chris, as we experience Christ in all the details of the burnt offering, his inward parts, all the other items related to the burnt offering, we experience Christ to such an extent that we appreciate Christ. Eventually, this very Christ that we appreciate, we offer to God as a gift. This is the experience of our Christ, who is the ram in resurrection. Verse 18 of Exodus 29 says, "This burnt offering is a sweet savor to God." So on one hand, the sin offering meets man's need. But the burnt offering as the first ram in resurrection is a sweet savor meeting God's need. Of course, I appreciate, Chris, that the Lord has given us so many gifts, the gifts of eternal life,
right.
the gift of the Spirit, etc. Now, when you and I, Chris, and all the radio listeners can experience Christ and appreciate Christ, we also can offer this very Christ that we have enjoyed as a gift back to God. So on one hand, he gives us Christ as our gift. On the other hand, we give him the very enjoyment of Christ back to God as his gift. We enjoy Christ, he enjoys Christ. What a marvelous fellowship we have.
Dennis, we appreciate so much the gift, as you said, of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we have an offering, which it's quite an astounding realization that we, the sinners saved out of
yes.
all manner of things,
yes.
would have something to offer that can satisfy the very God himself.
That's amazing, and that's shown in Exodus 29 in a marvelous way as the first and the second ram. And the first ram is a matter of Christ as our burnt offering. The second ram is a matter of Christ as our peace offering, which I believe you will get into more in the subsequent broadcast.
Amen. Dennis, we begin by a realization, and such were some of you, and that brings us to enjoy Christ in all these other aspects.
Yes.
Really enjoyable fellowship today, Brother Dennis. Thank you. Come back very soon. Thank you for being with us today, and I'd like to thank Dennis Agashi again for joining us. I'm Chris Wilde.